is the Next Level Loan Officers podcast. To learn more about Next Level Loan Officers, go to becomenl.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Next Level Loan Officers podcast. And we don't even need to say it anymore because everybody knows it, Sean. So we're a podcast for originators by originators. And you can see how many episodes we have. You can see our consistency out there. We do this because we love being in the business with you all. I love being in the trenches, right? Every day fighting. And I am joined by my business partner, my friend, founder, and coach here at Next Level, otherwise known as Sean Z, better known as the Sean Zalmanoff. What's up, my man?
Hey, now it is. It's a fantastic morning here to be here with you. We've been recording some podcasts on just getting back to basics, understanding where we are now, where we thought we were. You were talking about it before, and I'm going to steal your thunder, but I'm going to give you credit for it. You just called it the reality reset, Shane.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because I'm a old first time dad, and I now have a 2-year-old. And so what I would have done, I feel young and I'm going to kick 40 in the ass. I'm going to say that right now. But I will tell you that what I would have done on a Saturday 2 years ago is very different than I do on a Saturday today. It's not right. It's not wrong. I would say it is more blessed, but it's different. And the reality is that today in the mortgage industry, what you and I have to do, and Sean, you have been a regional branch. You've been a manager and a leader of people. Yeah. Blah, 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 all the titles. But I say that because you were very successful, built a very large business. I was the top 1% originator, I think the first 7 or 8 years that I originated, like full time. And I don't say this to anybody because anybody cares, because quite frankly, that's not where I am today and it's not where you are today. But we say that because even guys like us who've done fairly well in the business are willing to admit after a little bit of a pause that the things we used to do may not be the things we should do today. And the things we used to not do might be some of the things we should do today. And that's all a part of hitting reset. It's taking stock of your business life and asking yourself, you know, with the industry where it is. And I'm going to stop saying this changing market. It's the market. It's reality. Like the farther we get away from 2020, 2021, and the beginning of 2022, the more we realize that it wasn't real. And so we're getting back to a real market, doing real actions, real business, the fundamentals of being a top producing originator. And I'll tell you right now, you know, if you're on this podcast, you're like, yeah, I get it, Shane. Like I'm not a top 1% originator. I'm not a multimillionaire. I will tell you, blue collar fireman, no mortgage education, grown up, made some real bad decisions. What you want to become, you will become if you put your mind to it. And that's good and bad. If you say, hey, I'm not successful, then you won't be, right? So we're talking about where we want to be so that we can get there quicker. You aim the boat the direction you want to go before you ever hit that landing, that port of entry. And so, Sean, what I'd love to have you share with the group is, you know, you've been back originating now for several months. And you had originated for correct me if I'm wrong, almost 2 decades in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I've been doing this for 21 years, and I took about nine years off as I really built an empire.
Took 9 years off is a relative
term. I took 9 years
term.
Off of originating. Yeah. I wasn't signing loan applications anymore. But, you know, like one of the things that I know over the last 21 years is there are truths today that are lies tomorrow. There are truths 3 years ago that aren't true today. And it's not like, you know, double jeopardy of a cop pulling you over for speeding when they change they lowered the speed limit 10 miles an hour. I mean, stuff changes and the markets change.
Yeah.
You know, I personally, there's a few companies that we know of that have already eliminated every position like I had, because it's the only way that they're going to be able to be profitable and deliver a margin for their clients. I mean, there's like my position that I had. I didn't, I grew to not like it anymore. That's why I decided to step down. I knew that I enjoyed originating. I enjoyed winning. I liked helping people buy houses and say, I want to choose you. And I loved breaking bread with realtors. And so that's why I opened a company that I thought could be like an annuity where, man, is it going to have the swing of 20? No, nothing. The market's probably not going to ever. I don't want the market to have the swing in 20 and 21 again. But like, man, if I can just do something that spins off the kind of cash that I know that I can make, having a few loan officers working with me and doing 10 loans a month, man, I'm pretty happy. And I know I can really sustain that for an incredibly long time. And so like one of the biggest truths that we were fed, Shane, when we were growing up in the mortgage industry and that we told people for a long time is like the simple fact, like you're not as important as you think you are. And it's just, that's a falsehood now. It probably wasn't at one point. You could build a team when you were kind of just fumbling your way through stuff. And well, if you weren't as good as, if you weren't really that great, and then you hired somebody else who did it 100% of the time that you only did 60% of the time, well, you know what? It probably did get done better than you. But like once your craft is honed and refined, and like, man, you just, it's hard for most people to talk the game that I can or that you can when we have the experience that we have, the confidence that we have when we've done what we have, when we're talking to clients or talking to realtors in our business. And so that makes what we do right now more important than ever. And like, you know, it means that if you get a call on a Saturday, like, you probably need to pick up that phone on Saturday and get back to them. Now, again, if it's a, and I'll be politically correct, poop head agent that sucks.
Now we're going there. So now we're going to go to my 2-year-old. Okay. All good, brother. We got the filter on. I'm there.
That is every other word in my house with my two ninjas. So, and like, you know, if they suck and like they don't respect you or your time, then like whatever, you don't need to work. But if it's your agents, your partners that you're like, I mean, you're working to get deals done. Like, Shane, you're in my markets, besides loan sizes are pretty similar in the, I mean, there's 8 offers, 10 offers, 20 offers going in on houses. You got to act quick. You got it in. We're waiving inspections. We're waiving contingencies. There's escalation clauses. I mean, all this, I mean, there's a $200,000 property that a client is just riding on. They wrote it like 213 with an escalation clause up to 247. The 20% over is what they're going up against. If you want to get those offers, man, you got to be on it.
Well, listen, what you're, I'm typing notes in the background here because this is so important. And I want to post this later online. But what we're really talking about are industry lies and industry truth, right? And what used to be true, or I would say, and I don't even think it was true. I think the way it was said was incorrect, and I want to correct that today. But it's truth. It's truth and lie. The lie was that you're not as important as you think you are. That's a lie. You are important. The truth is you need to do more things you are good at more often, right? And that statement stands the test of time. Because like for me, if I run a tire shop, when I open that tire shop, I'm changing tires. When I grow that tire shop, other people are changing tires that I've trained to change tires. On a Saturday after a criminal dumps tax on the highway, I might be changing tires again, right? And to say, well, I'm not that important, that is not true. As the owner of the tire company, when my team is suffering, I am changing tires. That's a good use of my time in that moment. Lie number one, you're not as important as you think you are. Sean, we've broken that. That's not true. That means that for me, taking an intake call in my business, if I am good at it, then I need to do more of the things I'm good at more often, right? And if that's more impactful for my team and for my business, it is. I should absolutely be doing that. Lie number two, never work weekends. Truth? Your business partners work weekends. That's the truth. Now, you may not want to work weekends, but you cannot argue with me that your business partners are not working on the weekend. They are. You have to decide how you want to navigate that. Now, for me, I do a hybrid. I do a little bit on the weekends. I'm talking like 15 minutes. But I have a Saturday licensed production partner that will be the last person I ever let go. He has made it through the market, right? This guy is my brother. He takes bullets on Saturdays for me. He's better on the phone than I am. He works as a commercial mortgage broker during the week. He is phenomenal. Like, this guy is one of the best humans on the planet. The lie is never work weekends. The truth isn't you should work weekends. Maybe you should. And for you, Sean, like we talked before, it's like, man, if we're going to make the kind of money we're going to make, taking a 15-minute call when our business partners work 8 to 10 to 12 hours on a Saturday and a Sunday, like, we got to be honest, it's really not that big a deal. Let's get off our throne. Let's come back down to planet Earth. It's worth doing. Now, for me, I've made a different investment with my money. I'm gonna maybe like send the email to my business partner. I'm going to forward that text over. That's the extent of my time. But the truth is, your business partners work on the weekends. That's the truth. And you need to look at how you're spending your time differently today than you did 2 to 3 years ago.
Amen. Like, when, so I was just talked about this on a podcast with Kellen recently. And, you know, I mean, I had somebody who called me a few Saturdays ago at this point. And when it was 5 o'clock, I'd actually spent most of the day, my wife and I got a babysitter. She's doing some yoga training and I needed to get a bunch of things done at the office. I was building out a bunch of videos, follow-ups for my CRM, a bunch of voice drops that we're doing for some lead follow-up. And I had to get it all done. So I worked Saturday, went home, played with the kids for a few hours, and actually had a Saturday night where I was just going to a concert with a buddy. So that was a good time. You know, when you got 7 and 9 year old ninjas, it's nice to get away and go to a concert with your buddy. And like, I got a quick phone call. Hey, we're putting in this offer. It was a deal that I had referred to her. And, you know, can you do your thing? So I call and did my whole 5K presentation, you know, left a quick voicemail, shot a video, sent that over to him. I mean, it took, I don't know, 5 or 7 minutes. And, you know, she apologized.
Are you okay, man? Have you recovered? Have you recovered yet from that?
You know, that Sunday night, I got an email that, or a text message that, hey, you'll get a contract on Monday morning. That offer was accepted. It was like a $270,000 loan, jumbo in my market. You know, that's a good paycheck that I got.
That's a great paycheck.
And that was a deal that I'd sent to them because somebody had found me on my Google reviews. That's a whole nother podcast we need to talk about some other day here as well, too.
I've got a couple more here, Sean, yeah, as we're going. That I want to make sure we touch on. So, and my ADD interrupted you. So you accept my apology in advance. Another lie: you don't sell rate. It's not about the rate. The truth is, and I'll argue this till hell freezes over, value matters to everyone. The day of, well, man, if you lost the deal on rate, it's because you didn't sell enough. You weren't good enough. You didn't put in enough energy. That's factually incorrect. That would be hypocritical for people who shop on Amazon and who do look for value to say that that's not what their clients do. The truth of the matter is, value matters for everyone. We're not saying that you have to be the cheapest rate. That would not be the truth. What we're saying is you have to bring exceptional value every day. If you do not, you are going to lose time and time again, and you're going to be out of the business. Sean, I got another one. Now, I need your help on this. I don't have the lie, but I know the truth. And I'll say this with just a quick picture for everybody. You know, so I travel a lot. I'm super blessed to travel to the point where when I get on Alaska Airlines, they give me a special little chocolate. Thank you for, it's almost like you're a veteran.
You had a handwritten note last time too.
Yeah, I got a handwritten note. They're like, thank you for your service, right? It's like, you feel like you're a veteran getting on a plane. And they're like, thank you for your investment in Alaska Air. I probably kept them in business during COVID, but as I'm walking through the terminals, I am seeing more and more often restaurants that are now using automation to serve their clients. And I'll tell you, you know, I was sitting down with my business coach, because we as coaches get coached. If you have a coach that you know that doesn't get coached, be careful. And we get coached. And I was sitting down with my coach and he said, Shane, I just got done with 50 executives and they're all freaking out about AI. And we had a really long conversation about automation, AI. And I'm not saying AI is not going away. I'm saying automation is not going away, because I think that's going to ebb and flow. The reality is that what I firmly believe is that what we're seeing is, if you have three classes of experiences, like a low class, a middle class, and a luxury experience, AI is actually going to be pushing people towards either extreme. This middle class experience, where a human takes my order and hands me a $8 cheeseburger, is going away. I'm now walking up to a kiosk at McDonald's and a robot is taking my order and I'm going to get a $6 burger. But that's what I expect for $6, right? Like, my expectation is changing. So the truth is, automation isn't going away. I think the lie is, and I wanted to work this out with you, because we do this in our business. Robots will never take over. This will never happen. This will never get done. Like, those are the people that they're saying that, hoping that that will become true, because they're scared that if it doesn't, they're not going to win, right? Like, they don't have a solution to beat automation. What say you, Sean Z?
So, I mean, I think that AI is never going to take over exceptional service people who provide great value. So, like, I got a good airport story for you as well, too. Like, when going, I like to park at the airport.
You're that guy. You pay the $50 a day, man.
It's the kid travel thing.
It's a convenience factor.
$24 versus the $12. I don't have to get on the damn shuttle. Like, it's one of the little luxuries I like to have for myself. So I've made it a point to go to the people who check you out. Instead of, like, there's three gates or four gates, there's one or two that have a live person, there's other ones you just put your credit card in. A year ago, I had such a ridiculous experience leaving an airport with one of these individuals checking me out that it was like, all right, I'm done. Like, I'm just going to the automated one. The last time, we just came back from spring break, went skiing with the family. And you know, I like to do that, Shane, just a little bit. And so I go to the automated one, and I think there was like two people and one automated one. The automated one's broken. And the I'm like, all right, whatever. So, I got a big old truck. I got to back it kind of up and then around, and then I got to go to the person. And I was like, hey, ma'am, here you go. Like, you know, that one over there is broken. Crickets. Ma'am, that machine down there, it's broken. It wouldn't accept my card. She was like, I heard you. What do you want me to do about it? I'm like, I just wanted you to reinforce the fact why I'm still never going to come to you again. And I'm going to go to the, because if you're that person, man, your job should be eliminated. But yeah, if you're that person who's like, man, like, people want to give you a high, like, you make people want to give you a high five and they just love you. And it's just a great, like, there's a spot for you in this world. And that's where I just don't understand how the people who are probably most afraid and talking about the man or whoever, like, this computer that's taking their job, like, no, man, they're not taking your job. You're giving it away.
Well, and Sean, I love that, because I actually changed the truth and the lie. The lie is that automation will eliminate your job. I would actually say that automation will change your job, right? Like, now, so yes, that person is going away, but the job of the airport parking lot attendant will now change to one person overseeing 15 kiosks, high level service. Hey, sir, did you have any issues? Like, I have this at my small little regional airport. There's the kiosks that you drive up, you take your ticket. When you're done it with your flight, you come home, you put the ticket in the robot spits it back out and you pay for it, unless the machine doesn't work. And then there's a human that's standing outside in the rain in a raincoat with a mobile credit card checker. And they're going, hey, how can I help? Hey, machine didn't work. No worries. Let me walk you to your car. And while we're walking there, I'll take your payment. So again, that middle class experience is going away, that high class experience and that low class experience, that low cost experience are here. but they'll be different. When you get a low cost experience, you're expecting it. Your high cost experience will be better. Well, guys, Sean, I love this. Like, this was such a great reset for me, because the lies and the truths are there no matter what. It's the winners are going to take those truths, embrace that, and master those things.
Shane, when you were talking about the person in the raincoat, every person who's listening to this podcast just got hungry for some chicken nuggets, because they were all thinking about Chick-fil-A when taking your order with that.
Great example of a high-class experience for overpriced chicken.
Hey, guys, if you need a reset, if you need some help in your business, come join us on the other side. GumToBecomeNL.com. Check out what our community is about. Coach with one of us. Let us help you. Listen, this is a great market. This is an absolutely amazing market to be in right now. There is a lot of business to be had. There's less overall, but there's so many people who aren't doing the work. There's so many people providing a low-end experience. Be high class, provide a high class experience, and you will not just succeed. You will build the base to thrive within months in the industry. Shane, thank you for joining me today. All of you listening, see you on the other side.
Thanks, you guys. Be blessed.